they're probably between somewhere between the 5 and 8 in the West. I think they're probably second round team. I don't think you can really count LeBron out in the first round, as we saw last year against Indiana.
Welcome to WST, your West Coast source for sports, and today for the Lake Show. Everyone's talking about the Lakers. Everyone's excited to see LeBron with the Lakers. And we're just days away from that first game in Portland. To chat more about the upcoming season, we've got Kyle Goon, the Los Angeles Lakers beat writer from the Orange County Register, on the phone with us today. Kyle, thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's me and LeBron. We said we'd come together, so starting out on this thing.
I love it. Yeah, and so I wish my co-host Ben was on the phone, because then he would really have to call me Kyle Buckets, so there wouldn't be any confusion on which Kyle he's talking about.
Oh, is that your streetball nickname? Is that your gym nickname?
That's my self-proclaimed nickname one calls me that except myself.
Oh, okay.
Let's get into it a little bit. I mean, this summer, the unthinkable happened. In my mind, you know, I thought there was no way LeBron was leaving Cleveland, but he did. And now he's with the Lakers and he signed a 4-year contract. You know, what were your initial thoughts when he signed?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a part of me that was surprised, but I mean, it just seemed that the momentum was swaying that way. You know, he's kind of a guy who looks at the world and kind of wants to do things his own way. And once, you know, he'd won the championship in Cleveland, I think he felt like he had kind of fulfilled that promise to them. And, you know, lacking, you know, the perfect basketball situation. I mean, he could have gone to Philly, but I think he looked for an organization where he could sort of add to the history. And the Lakers, obviously, you know, probably the biggest, best-known franchise in the NBA. With an executive that he trusts and admires in Magic Johnson. And his family already lives out here in Brentwood. So I think it was pretty easy when you kind of look at those lanes of where it made sense for LeBron. He said he made the decision for, you know, what he saw in the Lakers and for his family. And I think you kind of got to take his word at that.
You do. And, you know, if you look at the youth movement on the Lakers, they've got the young core four. You know, they've got Ingram, who's 21, I think. They've got Lonzo right around that same age. And then you got Kuz and Harder, 23. How do you see these players developing with LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've been told is these guys are very attentive. You know, Rajon Rondo the other day said he was surprised on the team plane. He's walking down the aisle and saw everybody on the team buried in their iPad looking at film from the last game. And they had won the game. And, you know, it was just, he said, man, I haven't seen anything like that in a couple years. And obviously Rondo's been on a bunch of teams in that span. So, you know, what we've understood is that, you know, there's a lot of outreach from the younger players to listen to guys like LeBron and Rajon Rondo, understandably. And those guys are kind of intense about film now and are at a place where they see how it matters and they understand how high the expectations are playing alongside a guy like LeBron. Because pretty much everyone is going to say, if the Lakers aren't doing that well, that, oh, well, no one's helping LeBron. He has no help. He's no supporting cast. So they understand how serious the responsibility is and how high the expectations are. And I think they want to take that on head first.
It'll be interesting to see how the season kicks off, because you've got the core four, you've got some solid veterans with Lance Stephenson, you know, Rondo, you've got Michael Beasley, and you've also got KCP, which I think a lot of people won't talk about him. So it'll be interesting and fun to see how all these guys blend together. You know, watching some preseason games, like, it's the pace, it's been fast, it's been fun. What style of play do you expect to see once the season tips off?
Yeah, I mean, I think fast is kind of where they're going to excel. I mean, one, because, you know, they don't have that traditional size at center. And JaVale McGee is their starter. And I think, you know, for their purposes, he'll be a good enough starter. But I mean, the fact is, he hasn't played 20 minutes in a game in 6 years. So he's been mostly a backup for the last 6 seasons of his career. He's got asthma, so he can't play huge minutes. And after that, there's a pretty gaping hole. I mean, they have a young guy, Vika Zubats, who just hasn't quite been to that level that you hope to see a young guy take in the preseason. So you just don't know what the Lakers are going to do there. Those are basically their big men. They also have some flexibility with Kyle Kuzma and Mo Wagner if he gets healthy. But, I mean, the big thing is that they got to attack because they're smaller, and they have guys like James, like Rondo, like Ball, who can attack in transition and thrive in that style. I mean, I think the big question is going to be, you know, can they keep it up? And if, you know, LeBron is going to play, you know, 45 minutes of that style, how's it going to look at the end of the games for vets who haven't played at that tempo, you know, in a little while?
I mean, if you look at the roster, what excites me is you've got the young core and you've got some veterans, and they're all flexible in that they can handle the ball, they can guard multiple positions, and they're extremely athletic. So there's different pieces and components. You know, who do you see as the projective starting lineup, you know, going into the game against Portland?
Yeah, I think they're going to start the season with Rondo, KCP, LeBron, Brandon Ingram, and JaVale McGee. Right now, just the way they've been bringing back Lonzo Ball pretty slowly off his knee injury, I mean, we haven't really seen any physical signs that he's not ready to go, but they've been pretty cautious about it. He had the surgery, and it took him 4 games before he could even get into the preseason. So I think the way they're going to play with him is slow. You know, that's going to be interesting to watch with him and Rondo, how they kind of figure out, you know, if there's going to be a starting change in the season, and if so, how that's handled. And KCP and Josh Hart, I think, will also have a bit of a battle as the season goes on. But I think for now, you've got experience, and you're also surrounding LeBron James with veterans he feels like he can trust. I mean, you know, KCP is a guy he goes back with through his agency that he knows a couple years back, and Rondo is a guy he's respected and obviously butted heads against for a lot of years. So I definitely think that's part of it. And even though the Lakers don't say that, I think that is some of the idea behind how they're starting out the year.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned some of the young guys and the older guys, and I think chemistry will be key. KCP and Josh Hart, you know, how do you see that evolving as far as who's going to start and who's going to close the game at the end?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, they're both roughly the same height. They're both, you know, three-point shooters. They're probably the two best three-point shooters on the team. And they sort of are going to be expected to play similar roles no matter what happens as floor spacers. You know, I think what is going to be interesting about Josh Hart is that he's built a little differently than KCP, has a thicker build, and, you know, sort of based on his track record at Villanova, he's just not afraid to get in the post. He will guard fours. He guarded Nikola Jokic at one point in a preseason game, and told Rondo he didn't need any help to double him. So, I mean, that's the kind of mentality he has. That's something you see a lot with guards out of Villanova specifically. When you look at was that Jalen Brunson, who was the kid? But
yeah,
you know, they just it's just a different mentality. He's got a different build. He's a little more versatile than KCP. But again, it'll be interesting because KCP is pretty tight with LeBron and obviously shot really well last season, and you know, I don't know what would have to happen for him to lose a look at that job, but it'll be interesting, and Hart definitely gives a little different look.
Yeah, I mean, KCP, I think a lot of people forget about him. I mean, he was very successful in Detroit, and he's a very prolific three-point shooter. So I think he's going to be key piece to the puzzle as things go on. And, you know, if Josh Hart does come off the bench, you know, you have him potentially coming off the bench with Kuz as well. And that gives you some firepower off the bench. You know, who do you see as some of the key players besides Hart and Kuzma coming off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the main two. The one thing I've sort of identified in the preseason is I think whoever starts between Rondo and Ball, and if they switch out in the year, I think the Lakers are best served by having one of them or both of them out on the floor at all times. You know, and I think between the trio of Ball, Rondo, James, having two of those guys on the floor and figuring out the rotation, so you have at least two of those guys on the floor at all times, will be a huge thing for the team. It just allows them to run different things with that many ball handlers, playmakers on the floor. I think that's actually going to be the trickiest thing about the bench rotation, is just Luke Walton kind of stretching his mind and figuring out, okay, how can I keep, you know, two of these three playmakers on the floor and kind of keep things straight? Because we saw in the preseason, you know, when there's one or when there's none of those three guys on the floor, it gets kind of dicey with the execution, and they don't really have another guy who's going to be able to keep at that pace without a lot of turnovers.
You mentioned Lonzo and his growth. He's coming into year two, and I believe he added some muscle and it changed his jump shot around. You know, what do you expect to see from Lonzo coming out into year two?
Yeah, I mean, I think sort of what you said. I mean, he looks like he's physically matured, which you would expect, because, I mean, he's just 20 this year. And I think for him, the trick is going to be sort of in a very on-court way, kind of figuring out how to be a threat off the ball. He was more that threat at UCLA, and then kind of coming to the Lakers, he was kind of given the keys a little bit and didn't play as much off the ball as a rookie as he did arguably in college. So I think sort of being a lob threat guy, as he was in that preseason game against the Warriors, being, you know, a shooter, as, you know, he's got to be a better one than he was last year for sure. He's got to figure out that those skill sets a little more with the keys taken out of his hands. And then sort of the other half of that off the court is he's got to figure out where he kind of stands with the franchise, which, you know, I mean, last year when he was drafted, Magic said, I want to retire his jersey someday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 1 year in, no one's talking about that because they signed LeBron James. So I think for him, it's a different place to be. You know, I mean, this was a kid who was at the very head of his high school program, the featured guy, you know, 20 averaging like 25, 15, and 10 or whatever it was at Chino Hills, and UCLA, who was the star. And for the Lakers, he was the star last year. Now he's not, and he's not even necessarily starting. So I think there's a lot for him to wrap his head around and just kind of grow into whatever he's going to be in this league.
Hopefully he grows into the team mentality, you know, the ability to play off the ball. You know, I was reading somewhere where at UCLA, I think his three-point percentage was over 40%. Right. And the first year, you know, they compared his three-point field goal percentage to that of Jason Kidd, and it looked kind of the same. So if he does improve his jump shot, which I think he will because he puts in the time, he's a hard worker, you know, the sky's really the limit because he's got great court vision, he can rebound, and, you know, surprisingly, he does some stuff on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone denies he has talent. I think it is a matter of, one, he's competing with a player who is a pass first point guard who doesn't really shoot threes reliably, and like he's competing with himself in a sense. Like, yeah. He and Rondo have so much overlap except for ball size that, you know, it's a little complicated to say, oh, well, what if, you know, all three of them, and I mean LeBron here, like, if it was a lineup with Rondo and Ball and LeBron, I mean, you're giving up a lot of three-point shooting in that lineup, which is the problem. Why those two aren't starting together. I think they can play on the floor together, but I think it needs to be with other three-point shooters. So it's just a tricky situation for the Lakers and Ball to kind of figure out, all right, you know, how can we fit you in these lineups where we do want your playmaking, but we need a shooter? And I think part of that answer, he just needs to be a better shooter than he was last year.
Yeah, he does, because LeBron's going to close out the game. Ingram's going to close out the game. Kuzma's probably going to close out the game. And then if they go super small and they need those shooters, I mean, it could be KCP and Hart.
Yeah.
Depending on the matchup.
It's tough to say. I mean, yeah, it's because traditionally the LeBron offense is LeBron takes up the ball and dishes up the shooters. And,
yep.
And the Lakers just don't really have enough established shooters to really justify that exact style. So, but the speed style is a good equalizer for them in that way, where they can score in transition, they can make it really hard for opponents, but you just gotta, at some point you do have to have shooters. At some point there's going to be half court stuff that you got to run where Lonzo Ball needs to hit a corner three.
Yeah. Well, especially the way the game is played now, where it gives more spacing and it opens up the back cuts and the floor, you need shooters. And with LeBron, he's going to draw so much attention. Having shooters around him just makes the lane and the key and the basket just seem like it's wide open.
Right. So, yeah, I think, you know, that it's nothing. I don't think the Lakers have meant much in the way of surprises for us. I think, you know, LeBron James will be the guy. They'll be looking to him to kind of make things go. They're going to play fast. They're not going to rebound well. You know, they don't really have the size to score in the post well out of the half court. But, you know, it's LeBron James. he really compensates for a lot. And if you look at how the Cavaliers are going to do without him this season, I think that is going to be rough. So it's he smooths a lot of things over, for sure.
Yeah. So speaking about LeBron, I mean, what's been the one thing that has kind of surprised you the most in terms of, wow, I didn't realize that, now that I get to see him up close and personal?
I don't know. That's hard to say, because he's been a guy who's been in the public spotlight so long. Everything he does is parsed. I think one thing that struck me about his preseason is he just is not he's not in the business right now of making declarations. He hasn't talked about winning a championship, which when he went to Miami, obviously they did the thing on stage. When he went back to Cleveland, he wrote a whole essay about it, or had Lee Jenkins write that essay about, I want to bring championship to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And going to LA, he just has not talked about that. And he said, you know, I know we want to get the team back to championship contending level, but he hasn't said that in regards to this year. And he hasn't said that, you know, he's been very low key about expectations. And I think that's twofold. One, because the Golden State Warriors exist, but two, because he understands the power of his words, and he understands that the second he starts putting pressure on the people around him, they'll feel it from the media, they're going to feel it from the fans, they're going to feel it from everywhere. And I think he understands that he doesn't want to put difficult pressure on his teammates and his coaches early on, especially when no one really knows what this team is yet. So I think LeBron James being patient is probably the biggest development of the preseason so far.
It's a process. And I think LeBron, you know, coming into his 16th year now, understands that and understand what it takes. And there's probably no doubt in his mind that the Lakers will be successful and he will be successful, but he's not going to put that out there and put any extra pressure on the team.
Yeah.
So just a couple more questions and I'll let you out of here. So the Lakers, I believe it's been a 5-year playoff drought. How do you think the Lakers will finish up this year?
You know, I think based on sort of my very subjective estimations, I think they're probably somewhere between the 5 and 8 in the West. I think they're probably second round team. I don't think you can really count LeBron out in the first round, as we saw last year against Indiana. So I think, you know, to some extent, LeBron can kind of push teams ahead with his experience, and he's always great in the playoffs. But I don't really see them, if they are in sort of that 5 seed slot, I don't see them beating the Warriors.
It will be a difficult task in front of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
So last question, who do you see as the top 3 teams, or let's go top 4 teams in the West?
Top 4 teams in the West, I would say Golden State by far. I mean, no, everyone, this is news to no one. They're everyone's favorite. I think sort of in the tier right below them is Houston, Utah, and Oklahoma City. So I wonder about Oklahoma City because of Roberson being out for, I guess, 2 more months or whatever it is. But I think Utah's right there, and I think Houston hurt themselves a lot by losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Malamute. Those were 2 integral guys to their system, and the way they run their offense is such a grinder for the guys who aren't James Harden and Chris Paul. I think that'll actually be tougher for them to replicate what they did last year as a number 1 seed. So, yeah, and the Jazz are right there. Jazz were there last year, and they have a great team chemistry, and I covered them last year and know that group, and they kept it together. So,
yeah, and Rubio's back. I think people forget that when they're going on that run, Rubio got hurt, and he's a key component to the Jazz.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a big break for them in the playoffs last year, losing Rubio. But, you know, I think they will be a pretty good team. I don't know if they are yet ready to go to the Western Conference Finals, because Houston was convincingly better than them last year. But, again, I think Houston's taking a step back, and they may be a team that takes a step forward and is challenging the Warriors in the conference finals. So we'll see.
We will see. It's a great time of the year. You got the playoffs, you got college football, you got NFL, but now you got the Lakers and you got LeBron kicking things off. So it's an exciting time, and we can't wait to see what the Lakers have in front of them.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm excited as you guys.
Well, thanks a lot for joining. We do appreciate it, and have a great day.
All right, Kyle. Hey, have a good one, man.